Should pastors talk directly about political issues and political figures?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you today. Our goal is always to infuse you with faith and truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. All of us today, we're in the line of fire. That is the reality. And we want to equip you to stand strong, not to be changed by the world, but by the grace and power of the Spirit, by the gospel, to be a world changer. Number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. Yesterday's broadcast, I asked folks to call in if they said that they were born-again Christians, evangelicals who were voting for Kamala Harris, and to explain why. And I said that aside from other issues, and although I'm not looking to Trump as any type of political savior, and I understand people having issues with Donald Trump, that's simply the shedding of the blood of the unborn as a foundational party platform of Kamala Harris and the Democrats, that they would have it as a goal to reinstate Roe v. Wade, which would obliterate all pro-life laws that have been passed since the overturning of Roe and push back so much progress in the pro-life movement. That alone stopped me from voting. Well, there is a pastor in Fort Worth, Texas, Landon Schott. I've had the joy of being a mentor in his life since 2013, and an apostolic elder, so an external elder to Mercy Culture Church in Fort Worth. He's been attacked nationally, Washington Post, many articles across the country coming against him. He has been outspoken politically, but his heart above all is to see Jesus glorified. He's been right in the thick of this controversy, posting some very controversial statements about only a fake Christian would vote for Democrats, vote for Kamala Harris. He's explained his reasoning. So I said, hey, Landon, why don't you come on? Let's talk about it. Give us your larger perspective. Talk about what matters. Talk about, does politics get in the way of winning the loss? So without further ado, Landon, welcome back to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Dr. Brown. It's good to be here with you.
So let me ask first, if you could just give an update on the amazing things the Lord's done at Mercy Culture, when you planted the church, what it's grown to, the campuses, and your vision for impacting the cities where you are.
Yeah, I don't want to sound braggadocious at all. I want to accurately answer your question, and it's not by my giftings, it's not by my talent. I know what I'm capable of, and this is just the divine favor of God that's just wild. We planted a church in 2019, 8 months into a church plant. We bought a $40 million facility for $4 million, 160,000 square feet. 17 acres, one exit from downtown Fort Worth. 2 months later, COVID hit. Our church didn't shut down, and it exploded. And here we are 5 years in, six campuses, 11 nonprofits that are tied to the ministry. And it's just absolutely beyond I could ever imagine or dream. And I just feel I'm lucky that I just get to be part of it.
Yeah, and the church is not built around you. You only speak twice a month, correct?
Yeah. When we planted the church, I never wanted a pastor because the churches that I saw were built around a man or an ego. And I when the Lord told me to plant the church, I said, I don't want to. And he said, just build it around me. And when he said that, it just changed my whole mindset. So I get to preach twice a month, and other preachers and communicators did. And it doesn't matter who's preaching, who's leading worship, God shows up. And like when you're there ministering every time, I mean, if you're at Fort Worth or Waco campus or wherever, God's there, he moves. And so it's wonderful.
Yeah, it's I've just rejoiced. You know how it thrills my heart to see what God's done. And we know he gets the glory, he gets the credit, he gets the honor. What happened with COVID? God gave you a vision for helping folks in the community. Someone in your church started. You said, why don't we get the whole energy of the church behind them? So what's the process? People came by a couple times a week. What happened with that?
Yeah, I'm driving to this brand new 160,000 square foot facility, 10 months into a church plant, and a global pandemic hits. And we came to work anyway. So we just came to work. There's, 13 of us on staff at the time. And I'm pulling up to the church. And I said, Lord, what do I do? And he said to me, what's in your hand? And there's a guy in the church that fed people out of his garage. And so I said, hey, what could you do with the church and an army? He said, Pastor, we could do millions. And we've done that. I mean, we have the amount of, we are the largest food distributor in our entire city. It's got so big now that we leave our church one day a week. We do it twice a week. We feed about 2,000 families every single day that we do this. And now we've taken the food bank to other churches in the community just to help outreach and build their churches. And so it's just absolutely unbelievable how we get to go be the hands and feet of Jesus all throughout our city.
And you stocked up the car with like meals for 30 days, right, as people would come by during COVID.
It looks like a Costco trip. That's how much food we give them. Every car that comes in, they wait in line. They start getting there around 4:30 in the morning to be at the front of the line and get fresh produce and bread and eggs and meat. And just their entire car is just jam-packed with food. It's extravagant and it's beautiful.
And your folks get to pray with a lot of people, don't they?
There's anywhere between 10 to about 50 people that give their life to Jesus every single week, just in the line of the food bank. We've had deaf ears open, people that couldn't see out of their eyes. I mean, radical, cool stories and testimony. I mean, when they're in line for hours waiting for food, you got time to pray and minister to them. And so we've seen all sorts of just awesome, beautiful signs and wonders happen as people are just waiting to get food.
Yeah, and it's been, I know you were tracking a certain point, many, many tens of millions of meals given out. And when I went one time to see the warehouse in the back of the garage where things opened up, the people were just scurrying to get things out with this great joy because you realize, hey, people who had like the mercy gift and love to serve, this was their place to serve, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. In the body of Christ, we all have different gifts, and not everybody can preach. There's one microphone, one stage, one service a week. But all these people have these amazing gifts. And so part of our membership process, we get to help filter and find out how people best connect with God and what they're most passionate about. And so when we see someone's passionate about the acts of service and they connect with God through serving people, we make sure that we plug them into the ministry that not only do they best connect with God, where they're ministered to, but they also get to minister to people through those gifts. And so it's really cool to see all the people are passionate about serving people in those departments.
And then what about the human trafficking work that spearheaded especially by your wife, Heather? But what's the scope of that?
Yeah, so we have two different ministries that deal with this. One has to do with adoption and the other one with anti-human trafficking. And so we are currently right now building I believe it's the largest long-term residence for survivors of human trafficking in the nation. It's one of the greatest needs in the entire nation where there's literally millions of women trapped in human trafficking. And these teams go out and rescue them. And when they rescue them, there's nowhere for them to go. Or some of them are like short-term housing or like, drug rehabilitation. And these women aren't not all drug addicts, and those aren't the right environments for them. And so, I mean, imagine rescuing a girl from being raped, multiple times a day for years, and then you're like, okay, you could stay at this house for 30 days. It's just not enough time for them to be restored and renewed. And so this will be a 3-year long-term house for these survivors that will train them, walk through inner healing with them, and then help them get life skills to be an effective, vibrant part of community. And so we're actively building that right now on our property.
Amazing. Just amazing. Of course, there's a full-time Christian school that was there when you took over the church facility. Now it's been completely revamped and renewed, and God pours out his spirit among the kids. You'll send testimonies to me sometimes of what's happening. And then just general outreach, you've got teams going out, preaching the gospel, doing outreach during the week as well. Is that kind of a constant theme?
Yeah, I think the update I heard last week was just in outreach, there's close to I don't know the exact number, but it's just under 800 salvations were given their life face to face. We led people to the Lord through different outreaches. And this is Monday through Saturday, not in church settings. 800 people giving their life to the Lord and 350 water baptisms that have been spontaneous. Last Friday, we had 17 kids spontaneously get baptized after school. These are not in church settings. And so this is a church that we are active in evangelism, in outreach. One of the things that we said to the Lord was, thank you for this big building, you know, this 2,000 seat sanctuary, but we only use that on Sundays. We're going to make sure that we're not trapped in the four walls of the church, but we're outside of the walls Monday through Saturday.
And when you said 800 people professing faith in Jesus, 350 baptisms, is that this year, calendar year, or what time period were you speaking of?
Yeah, that's from January today outside of church services. That doesn't count the hundreds and hundreds within church services.
All right, so, and there, we could go on and on, you know, public schools in the city that have called the church saying, help us, our kids are messed up. And they've sent students at the spiritual leadership school where I teach every month from the outset of the school over 3 years ago. I can't wait to get back down there just in a few more weeks. So the reason I share all this is, number one, to glorify the Lord and say, be encouraged, Jesus is working. But also to say, at the same time, Landon, you have been very outspoken politically. A lot of people think you can't do both. In other words, if you're outspoken politically, then you can't do outreach to the lost. But you have a different philosophy about Sunday morning. So we've got a minute and a half before the break, then we'll get back into this on the other side. But what's your philosophy for Sunday morning? Who are you primarily talking to?
So I believe that the church has been a little off course when it comes to Sunday morning church. And there's this concept that's been floating around the last few years that so many people get saved on Sunday morning, so let's make Sunday morning about reaching the lost. So the entire church service becomes a seeker, or a modern way to say it is an attractional church service, which I don't see that as a biblical model. I see church was for two things: for the Lord, for worshiping the Lord, and then for teaching and equipping the saints. And so at Mercy Culture, our church services are not for the lost. It is to worship the Lord, to please him, and then to equip the saints through the teaching of the word. And that's what we've primarily focused our church services around. Then our church is equipped and empowered to go reach the lost, to be evangelists, to be salt in the earth, to be light in darkness in their places of influence all throughout society or their parts of life that they're living. But church services are for worshiping the Lord, glorifying him, gathering together as believers, and teaching them.
Got it. All right. Friends, I hope you're being stirred by this. I've known Landon now for 11 years, know his wife Heather, know many in the church. I'm virtually there about every month of the year, either teaching at the school, doing something at the church. So I'm an eyewitness firsthand. I know what's happening. This is all real. And yet, Landon is politically outspoken. We'll be right back.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that ACY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. Trivita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Shout out of appreciation to our great co-sponsor, Trivita. So generous to help us get on many more stations across America and to stand for the three R's of our ministry: revival in the church, gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in society, and the redemption of Israel. All three of those are also dear to Pastor Landon and the team at Mercy Culture in Fort Worth and the additional campuses. That's one reason we are so much in sync together. 866-34-TRUTH, number to call. All right, so Landon, first, where did you get the burden, the vision to begin to address political issues, interact with politicians, decide whether you were going to endorse candidates? How did this all materialize in your life?
Well, like I told you, I didn't really want a pastor, but when the Lord said build it around me, it's been this obsession to please him. Like, what does the Lord want? What pleases him? If we're going to do this, Lord, I want you to be happy. I told the Lord, if I'm going to start a church, you got to want to be there. And so I live my life to the best of my ability. Ephesians 5:10, find out what pleases the Lord. And so the Lord spoke to us and told one of our elders to run for mayor. And when he did, we just thought we were obeying the Lord, but we quickly became public enemy number one with liberals in our city. And I found out really, really fast that the enemy doesn't care how big your church gets as long as you stay in it. And as soon as we started going out, and we weren't even being audacious, we were just talking about loving our city and loving people, and like this, I mean, hate began to take place. I mean, we're building the one of the largest centers for human trafficking, survivors of human trafficking in the nation, and we have people actively opposing us building this. I mean, I'm not talking about not helping us. I mean, actively opposing it. And so the people that hate God hate righteousness. And so when you come into the enemy's territory, they'll start actively opposing you because it's a spirit. And so then the Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God and love people. Well, one of the greatest ways you can love people is by helping them through policies that affect their life. I mean, look what COVID did in cities that were liberal and corrupt. I mean, it destroyed people's lives and businesses. And so as we begin to get involved, you know, we realize, well, we could do a lot of impact for the kingdom of God by fighting to put godly people in places of influence. Proverbs says that when the righteous reign, the people rejoice. And so when godly leaders come into places of authority, it's good for the city, and it's one of the greatest ways we can love our neighbors.
All right, so you've actually had people elected part of your church or affiliated with your church, and you've worked with the Republican Party of Texas. So you've got folks that have been elected as Republicans with conservative Christian values that are serving in Texas. You worked actively with the Republican Party to protect children from transgender activism. Do you have a lot of confidence in the Republican Party?
So I want to be really, really clear about this, is I'm not a Republican. And no, I don't have a lot of confidence in the Republican Party. And there's a lot of corruption. And yes, we've gotten around 70 different people we've helped influence in different elections. But what I've noticed is that as many godly people that we can get in different offices, they do great exploits to advance the gospel. It's been amazing what we've seen happen in our cities that we're involved in and have churches in when godly people are helping create the laws. But I've at the same time seen amazing corruption in the Republican Party and in evil people. So this is not like, oh, there's one party that's good and one party that's bad. It's there's one party that is absolutely demonic, and there's another party that's got a lot of evil in it too. And so there's one king, there's one kingdom, and he's going to return and reign. He's the one that's gonna, that has all the answers. But in the meantime, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added. So what I'm looking to do is to help get behind as many righteous men and women that love Jesus, that serve him, and that will promote biblical values in our society.
And what do you tell these candidates? Let's say they campaign with XYZ promises that you think, wow, this would really be best for the people here, bring the most justice, the most mercy, the most fairness, the most equity. These are good candidates. What do you tell them will happen if they deviate from their pledge?
Oh, I look at these politicians in the face and say, if I publicly endorse you and you cheat on your wife, if you are corrupt, if you turn your back on a biblical marriage, if you vary from God's word, then I'm going to publicly tell people. So if I publicly endorsed you and you veer, then I'm going to publicly let everybody know that you're compromised or you are a fake Christian. You did not back up what you said. So I tell them ahead of time, this is what's up. And I don't mean that everybody's perfect and everybody don't get it right. And I had one guy said to me, a pastor, he's like, well, I'm just, I'm worried that if I endorse someone and they do something, you know, it'll make me look bad. I'm like, well, hold a second. Leaders falling doesn't mean you're a bad leader. I mean, Jesus was the greatest leader who ever walked the face of the earth, and he had Peter betray him, or Judas betray him and Peter deny him. And according to John 6, many disciples fell away. So people falling doesn't mean that you're not a good leader. It means that people are people. We just want to try to get behind as many good people and godly people as we can to do the most good we can.
All right, so we've just got a few minutes. Unless you have time to stay over one more segment, you can let me know. But
I got time.
Okay, great. So let's start here, and then we respond on the other side of the break. What I do want to emphasize, though, is, and the reason I asked about all the other stuff first, is to say that your being politically active has not stopped your people from winning the lost in your communities, from seeing people saved, from planting new churches that are growing and reaching the lost as well. In other words, it's not either or. And you're making it clear this is not about a political party, but about issues. So just take a couple of minutes to explain why you made very strong statements about a Christian could not vote for Kamala Harris, why you haven't backed down from that in terms of a deep conviction you have. And then we'll talk about who's giving you pushback against that.
Yeah. And so, again, just like we try to identify the people that are passionate about mercy gifts or passionate about serving people in helps ministry, we also get to identify people that are passionate about reformation. They're passionate about making the crooked way straight. They're passionate about righteousness, being right in God's eyes in our society. And so we have another group of people that they connect with God through making wrong things right. So again, you got these wicked, evil laws. Dr. Brown, they tried to pass laws in Texas to do sex changes on minors. We're talking children's, cutting off the private parts of children. This is not political. And I wish I could make this more clear for people, but so many Christians that they want to separate their politics from their Christianity. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. We're not part-time Christians and then part-time politicians or political people. We are full-time Christians. So some view their spirituality through their politics, but I don't. I view politics through my spirituality. And I get there's some people are, you're trying to make this political. You're trying to bring your spirituality or the kingdom into this political construct. No, I'm not. I'm refusing to participate in your political construct. I'm saying that abortion is not a political issue. We're talking about child sacrifice. This is what brought the children of Israel into exile. This is what knocked off Solomon from his reign, was the women he was enticed by and their false gods. This is a top 10 commandment. Have no other gods before me. Make no other idols. God takes this seriously. He took it seriously in the days of the children of Israel, and he takes it seriously with his children now. These are not political issues. This hate for Israel is not politics. It's not political. They've hated Israel from the beginning of time. And whether it was a Pharaoh or with Herod or was the Holocaust, these aren't political things. These are spiritual issues. And so what I'm saying to the people of God is that we have to see politics through the lens of our spirituality. This is so important. Our relationship with Jesus and following Jesus needs to come first. We are full-time Christians, not part-time Christians.
We will be right back to press the landing shot. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name, not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world, God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together and we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate, monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount, our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly support.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, our entire Frontline newsletter that will be going out in September, the entire Frontline newsletter is focused on Israel. Just looked up at the screen. I think we're reconnecting with Pastor Landon. It's focused entirely on Israel. It's going to bless you. It's going to stir you. It's going to edify you. We want to make sure you're getting it. So if you're not getting the Frontline newsletter, boy, do we need to understand spiritually and naturally what is happening with Israel right now. Essential that we get this in your hands. If you're not getting the Frontline newsletter, it's once a month. It's digital. It is a beautifully produced publication as well. Here's the place to get it. Go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. And just click subscribe. That's all you have to do. It looks like, okay, maybe there's a problem on Landon's phone here for a moment. Let's grab that clip from Pastor Landon. I just see the board of call coming on and coming off. Guys, let's play the clip where Pastor Landon responds to those who attacked him when he said that you can't be a true Christian and vote Democrat, speaking about now in the presidential elections. Let's go ahead and listen to what he had to say.
But I wanted to make a serious video about this. I think it's interesting patterns. I always find it interesting when wicked world leaders, evil politicians, corrupt globalists are all saying the same thing, and then Christians are like, oh, okay, that sounds right, when wicked, evil people that hate God are all saying the same thing. Probably is not what God is wanting us to do. And so I look at who opposed what I was saying about fake Christians, who were the loudest about it, what were the common denominators of it. And here's the things that I saw. I saw flat-out racists, people that choose culture over a kingdom, that choose a culture over a king. I saw a bunch of worship leaders that have deconstructed and no longer believe the Bible's true and have this pseudo-Christianity, make-for-yourself-your-own-religion thing going on. Saw that. A lot of just woke people, just absolute woke, falling asleep, spiritually asleep, because they are lulled to sleep spiritually by the things of the world. A lot of he-hims, she-hers, people that don't even serve God, love God, believe God. People that use the word nuance a lot was a common denominator. And here's the interesting thing. If you think you're following Jesus and you have the same opinions and the same worldviews of deconstructionists, him, he, she, her, people that do not believe in God's word, they do not follow Jesus, they have created their own religion, bunch of racist folk, and you think that you are on God's side when you're standing on the side of debased mind corruption, it's a great way to stop and go before the Lord and pray a prayer that David prayed. Search my heart. Am I wrong in this? Do I have areas that I have been deceived? And then here's the thing. The Bible will show us where we're deceived. It won't be someone's opinion. It won't be an epiphany idea. It won't be empathy for someone's side. It will be God's word. And so if you do not have scripture to back up your position, you are not on the Lord's side. So I encourage you, it's time to know God, know his word, back it up with scripture. We'll talk more.
All right, so that was a clip from Pastor Landon, and now bring you back on the air. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Okay, great. So you just heard yourself speaking there. By the way, Mercy Culture is a multiracial church. It's been right from the first day, it's been multiracial. And you've done a lot. You've had prayer meetings for racial reconciliation and really sought to be bridge builders, et cetera, in the midst of cultural crisis. But when you talk about the word is clear, what do you say to those who say, look, the Republican agenda may be good on certain areas, but Democrats are much more concerned about the poor, the needy, the hurting in other ways. And you've got to look at this. Okay, both parties have bad, both parties have good. You may think one party's worse than the other, but ultimately the president's got to be the president of the entire United States and be pragmatic. It's not a Christian country where it's just biblical values only. He's got to be pragmatic. And what if someone said, we happen to feel that caring for the poor is super important and having outreach programs that help the needy in other ways is super important, and we think the Democrats are stronger than that, than the Republicans, so abortion is big to you, but these things are big to us, so don't judge us. How would you respond?
Yeah, you've been lied to, because the Democrats really don't care about the poor. If they cared about the poor, it would have worked in all the cities that they run. So you look at the cities that are run by Democrats, and they're the most impoverished, the most broken, the most racially ignited atmospheres or cultures. I mean, they're in chaos. Democratic cities are in chaos. And so they're not helping the poor. They're keeping the poor in bondage. And so it's just not true. And so you have a group of people that are trying to say helping the poor is more important than killing babies. I mean, you're aware that Planned Parenthood has killed close to 100 million children. 80% of all abortion clinics are in black neighborhoods. This is absolutely targeted towards the black community. We know that Margaret Sanger, who was the founder of Planned Parenthood, was an absolute racist that wanted to get rid of black people. This is proven, documented. Even when they try to scrub the internet, we know this to be true. And she partnered with corrupt black pastors in black communities to partner with abortion. And we're still seeing it happen today. This is not a political issue. This is child sacrifice. God says he hates it. It's an abomination, and it's an heightened sin. And so this is something that is not political again. This is spiritual. And sometimes it's weird as a white pastor saying this, but I got a very multicultural church. And the truth is that I can't not say something that's true because I'm white, or I'll be playing into their system. And so I just got to be honest. I got spiritual children that are African-American and Hispanic and multicultural. You look down those pews of mercy culture, you're not going to see someone on the same pew that looks like you. It's a very multicultural church. And so, but what I'm saying is this, is that it's wicked and it's evil and it's wrong. And this is not the Democratic Party of the Bill Clinton days. This is not the Democratic Party of your grandpa. We're talking about they want to cut off the private parts of children. They want to promote perversion. They celebrate dancing men dressing as women, parading around the cities, showing lewd nudity. They want to be in children doing drag shows in front of children. This is foul. It's evil. It's perverse. And anyone that is spiritually discerning, with ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive, knows this is vile. This is perverted. This is evil. This is Romans 1 before our very eyes.
So I think the most helpful takeaway, Landon, is that we look at issues from God's perspective. We become passionate about those issues. So forget politics. For the moment, forget politics even exists. So whether we're looking at slavery, whether we're looking at segregation, whether we're looking at abortion, whether we're looking at human trafficking, whether we're looking at abusive children, whatever the issue is, whether we're looking at fentanyl pouring in through our borders and fentanyl overdoses, whatever the particular moral issue is, whether it has to do with world injustice and where America stands on that, we look at those issues as issues. So we forget there's any such thing as politics, a Republican Party, Democrat Party, or anything. We just look at issues. We get God's heart on issues. Then we ask him, Lord, what are we to do about this? Is it just pray? Is it, you know, how can we support? Do we get involved in pro-life movement? Do we adopt children? What do we do? And then it so happens that we live in a democratic society. And once again, just lost Pastor Landon's call, but I'll make this comment as I'm speaking now. I'm sure he's in harmony with this. And this is pretty much what he's saying. So again, look at the issues, study the scriptures, ask God for his heart. Ask God what matters to him. Ask God what's most important to him. Look at priorities in Scripture. Look at things that are emphasized in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Get God's heart for the particular issue. Ask him what he would have you to do with that particular issue. It may be more aggressive outreach to reach the lost and help change their thinking on things. It may be actual activism in various areas, etc. So that's all one category in terms of God, what's on your heart, what matters to you, what does your word say is most important, how can we now live this out as believers? And now, with all that in place, we don't even think politics. Politics does not even exist. Now, it so happens we live in a democratic republic where we can vote. And now we look at candidates and we look at parties and we say, does either candidate, does either party have a stand on certain issues? So I'm a registered independent just as a matter of conscience because I don't want to be known as a Republican or a Democrat that I belong to a party. That's my conviction. I'm not saying others have to live by that. But I got online a few years ago and there was a survey. And it asked me what issues were most important. That's one, this. And it turned out that it was 100% with the Republican agenda and 100% against the Democrats. So Landon, just our last takeaway with 2 minutes left, is don't look at this as politics. Look at this as gospel, righteousness, biblical issues. And then, because we have the privilege of voting, vote accordingly. Now we've always heard that said, but I think if you take politics out of the picture completely and then put it back in, okay, this is also an outlet we have. How do we now exercise our right to vote in harmony with those values? Then we'll come out voting biblically. Would you agree with that?
I would. And there is voting in the Bible because people voted to put Jesus on the cross. They had an opportunity to release him and they didn't.
Got it.
And voting has great consequences. It's really, really important. And what I would like to challenge the viewers, and I know people don't like when I say fake Christians, and sometimes they don't like the approach I take, and I would respond, they didn't like John the Baptist's approach. They didn't like Elijah's approach. And part of the prophetic call is to align God's people back with God when people are off course. And I would push back and I would say, how is your political party? How are these policies that you're supporting? How does that align with your Christianity? How does that align with pleasing God? How does that align with following Jesus? Is it right? Is it righteous? Is it biblical? And this, you're 100% right, Dr. Brown. It's not about a party, not about a politician. It is not about Donald Trump. This is about what is right, what is godly, and what policies can we vote for that will put us in the best position possible to spread our faith, to advance the kingdom, to build churches, and to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the earth.
Yeah, that's it. That's what our hearts beat for. And for those of you who say, this guy is just full of opinion, number one, is what he's saying biblical? Is what he's saying accurate? Is what he's saying scriptural? And the other, I can tell you, someone's been involved in Landon's life 11 years. He's one of the most teachable, open to hear correction people I know on the planet. When he has convictions, he has convictions, and I honor and respect those convictions. Hey, Landon, can't wait to be with all of you back in Mercy Culture in the days ahead. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
Have you, Dr. Brown.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. I love Landon. I love his heart for the Lord. His wife, Heather, their heart for the Lord. And I've been involved, again, 11 years now in Landon's life. And he's super teachable and always with a listening ear. And when he has a conviction, he has a conviction. But I want you to know it's not that he thinks that he's some big shot. He walks in the fear of the Lord. As he said, he really has sought to build a church around Jesus and not around a personality. And there'll be people who've been going there for a while. It's like, oh, they finally get to hear the pastor speak because he's not the only one. And it's fine. If God's called you to be bringing the word, and that's a sacred responsibility for you every Sunday as lead pastor, hey, you do what God's called you to do, and you can still build a church around Jesus, even speaking every week. We understand that. But I really want to challenge you to step back. Some of you were amening what Landon was saying. Some of you were judging him. Some of you were offended. And I want to just encourage you to stand back and consider what he had to say. Consider what he had to say based on Scripture. I can never get away from the shedding of innocent blood and the reality of that. And that if any candidate, no matter how good they were on other issues, said, I stand for reinstating Roe v. Wade, I could not vote for them. I could not support their party in good conscience. You might say, well, I can't vote for the other party. Again, as I've said many times, I get that and I respect that. If you ultimately felt that there was too much evil, sin, corruption in each party or candidate, and you couldn't vote for either of them as a follower of Jesus, and you voted in all the other elections wherever you could, wherever you find candidates you could vote for, that's between you and God. I respect that, honor that. I still do not understand, cannot understand, how anyone can say I'm pro-life, yet I'm voting for a candidate who in their official public stance says, I want to reinstate Roe v. Wade. I have worked with an organization called Love Life. It started as Love Life Charlotte, then it was Love Life different parts of North Carolina, now it's going around the country, and I believe other countries as well. And it's been a very effective pro-life ministry. I have colleagues of mine on the ground who've been working in pro-life for decades, but right in Charlotte, on the ground, over 20 years, faithfully involved in the pro-life movement. And I got this email from Love Life, and it says this, from 32 to 200,000. We are excited to share an incredible milestone that displays the unity of the church to stand for life at the darkest places in our nation. Since our first prayer walk in March 2016, with just 32 passionate believers in Charlotte, North Carolina, we have now reached over 200,000 prayer walkers who have joined us across Love Life cities nationwide. God is truly moving in extraordinary ways. We're witnessing firsthand the impact of his people mobilizing to pray and expose the number one moral issue of our day, abortion. The pro-life movement continues to grow. It grows through outreach. It goes through changing hearts and minds. It goes through adoption. It grows through the closing of abortion mills. It grows through the establishing of pregnancy life centers, pregnancy crisis centers in different cities. And there's still much, much work to be done, much compassionate outreach to be done, much changing of hearts and minds, much helping people to have their babies and providing help for them in crisis situations when babies are born in difficult situations. The pro-life people I know with are holistic. It's not just about the baby being born. It's about the family being established. It's about help for that child out of the womb. That's their heart. They are pro-life, not just pro-baby in the womb, but pro-life. And good things are happening. The overturning of Roe v. Wade, massive, massive. But we have to continue to change hearts and change minds. This whole chapter, change hearts and change laws. There's a whole chapter in my book, Turn the Tide, which is devoted to that very subject. Yes, change laws, but also change hearts. I want to play a clip from live action. This is Lila Rose. It's a video of people explaining that they are for a woman's right to choose up until the very time of delivery, and her body, her choice, those kind of sentiments. And then they're shown videos on abortion. And it's it's animated. In other words, it's this is what it would look like. It's a doctor explaining, and it's when you actually see the video, it is. Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play the clip, and at one point, there's just going to be video. So for those listening, I'll talk over that. What's going to happen is they're going to interview people, then they're going to have them just watch these short videos, and then you'll see what their response is afterwards. All right, let's take a listen.
Ultimately, I'm more towards my body, my choice.
Everybody has a choice. I think if it's what you need to do, then do it.
It's the woman's right to choose.
Be the choice of the woman. I do believe in women's rights.
I think that women should have the right to choose whether or not they want to abort their children.
In certain circumstances, you know, make you have to do that.
Until childbirth.
I believe all the way up until birth.
About 8 months, left, 8 months to know.
Probably the first 6 months.
Especially, I'm for abortion if a woman's been raped or either if there's incest or something like that. I think that they should have the right to make decisions about their body, their own body. Absolutely, yes.
This video, I love your thoughts on.
Okay, so now they show people watching the video, and there you see some of their reaction. They're saying sick. They want to look away. They don't want to watch now.
I didn't know any of that.
I saw a video like that about how the procedure was performed. I don't agree with that.
I don't think it's right that the baby has to go through all that because someone didn't want them.
It changed my mind about the time frame there.
Do you consider yourself strongly pro-life now?
Yeah. Now that after watching that video, like, my opinion changed 100%.
I always kind of thought it was just like a little seed that they kind of scope out.
Say that your original stance on abortion has changed?
Yeah. Yes, after seeing that video, 100%. I will be against abortion, for sure, 100%.
All right. Yeah, so one after another, they changed their views. And the video is accurate. In other words, it's not animated in some false way, some cartoonish. It's just accurately showing, okay, here's a baby. Here's first trimester, second trimester. Here's what you're dealing with. This is what you're dealing with. Here's a baby being sucked out. Here's a baby being pulled apart limb by limb. Here's the baby, maybe it's third trimester, the baby being poisoned and then pulled out once it's dead. It's just showing you very matter-of-factly. And in other words, the doctors doing the narrative, the graphics being used, are not done in some way that you think, oh, they are all pro-life doctors trying to present this terrible, gruesome, ghastly picture of something that's not real. No, they're actually showing, okay, even now, X number of weeks in, because your average woman is not going to know she's pregnant for a little while, and then the abortion, maybe it's 8 weeks in or something, it's whatever the number would be, the great majority would be early on as opposed to later on. We understand that. But Here's the procedure, here's what's going on, and someone's just in a very clear, simple way is explaining this, and this is what happens, and the baby, even that small, remember at the moment of conception, when the sperm and the egg come together, at the moment of conception, it has its full DNA code at that moment? Wow, it's really quite extraordinary. We've said it before, but if you read one letter of DNA coding per second, it would take you something like 96 years to read it all. That detail, the complex map of who you are genetically, boom, at conception, God's put it there. God's put it there. And then the development that begins to take place, how far the baby's come along, you can actually see there's a little baby there. And what happens to that little living child? Just think of that. What happens to that little living child to now no longer be a living child? It has to be killed. It has to be killed. It has to be sucked out. It has to be poisoned. It has to be starved. One way or another, it has to be burned alive, you know, with a saline abortion or just whatever exactly would happen. Some of these things are not practiced as much. But that's what ultimately has to happen. You tear it apart, limb from limb. How do you think the baby dies? How do you think the baby dies? And how do you think the baby gets out of the womb? Abortion pill is not like at whatever stage the pregnancy is. Abortion pill is not like, and just one day the little baby in the womb goes to sleep and it disappears. No, you're still talking about a brutal procedure to kill the baby in the womb. And that's where there's so many complications and issues. And that's why when we've talked about this on the air, we've had so many women call in decades later, call in weeping, even though they know God forgave them. Just the thought of it is overwhelming. For those of you who've had abortions, if you've never come to the Lord for forgiveness, he will forgive you for that sin like every other sin. If you acknowledge your need, if you recognize that you're a sinner, not just because of abortion, that was a manifestation of human sin, like a thousand other things will be manifestations of our sin. Confess to him, Lord, I've sinned. I did wrong. I did evil. Forgive me. Wash me clean. I believe Jesus died for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead. I want to live a new life. Forgive me. Wash me. For those who are believers who've been forgiven, and as I've talked so forcefully, it's reopened that wound. Remember, Jesus paid for that sin. Remember, his love for you remains steadfast. Remember, he now wants to use you to bless and help others who are hurting. May God restore the conscience of the nation, beginning with restoring the conscience of the church.